discussion, petition 203.
Oh, I'm on record yet? Okay.
Petition 203. My name is Edgar Fleury. The petitioner indicated that he would not be attending the hearing. However, he requested that the evidence submitted would be considered. The information he has sent here, it covers both petitions 203 and 204. However, we're going to separate the petitions for this hearing. Okay. Could you please cite your name for the record?
Doug Mack.
Melissa Cullen.
Both parties were sworn in previously. Could you present your evidence? All right, thank you. Oh, can I ask a question? The evidence that he submitted covers both petitions, and both of these are Popeye restaurants. Is that correct?
They are.
They are, okay. Okay, Mr. Mack, would you please proceed? Oh, excuse me a second.
Much easier that way.
Sorry for the interruption. Please proceed, Mr. Mack.
For petition 203, the parcel number is R27422190000081000000. The just value is $851,414. The assessed and taxable value is $528,245. On page one of my packet is a property record card for the subject. And if you'll flip to page seven, this is a Popeye's restaurant located at 843 South Broad Street in Brooksville. It's on the east side of South Broad Street, north of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It has frontage and access from and on South Broad Street and Roberta Avenue. It's zone C2, which is highway commercial, and has 38,180 usable square feet of land. It's a retail or quick serve restaurant built in 1984 with an effective age of 1994 with 2,630 leasable square feet. We've done a cost approach for this property, and if you'll turn to page four, and I do apologize, Mr. Magistrate, it looks like my page numbers might have reset for each section. So there is a comparable land chart on that page four that shows that I used three sales, all located in Hernando County.
What page is that, please?
I'm sorry?
Page four, okay.
Page four, yes, sir. All located in Hernando County that range from 34,631 usable square feet to 75,253 usable square feet that sold between May of 2018 and April of 2019. On the next page, we made adjustments for market conditions, location, visibility, and access. We ended using a $8 per usable square foot rate to come up with a final value on the land of $305,440. If you'll turn to page seven, we'll have our cost approach summary there. On page eight, you'll see that we've come up with an $833,030 total building improvement value. Feature or site improvement value of $49,180 for a total building and site improvement value of $882,210. We've added soft or indirect costs of $26,466 and entrepreneurial incentive of $63,607. We've allowed for $352,914 of depreciation, giving us a total depreciated value of $619,369. Adding in our land value of $305,440 gives us a final value of $924,809. If you'll turn to page 17, you'll see we've completed
what page was that?
17.
72?
17.
17.
Oh, 17, sorry.
This is a comparable improved sales chart. We've used five improved sales comps located in Hillsborough, Pasco, Hernando, and Pinellas counties. They range from 2,028 leasable square feet to 3,984 square feet. They sold from January of 2019 through October of 2019. We've made adjustments for market conditions, location, age, condition, quality, and design, size, and land-to-building ratio. There's a minimum $546.11 price per leasable square foot and a maximum of $1,148.44. We settled on a $700 per leasable square foot for a final value of $1,841,000. We also completed an income approach. And if you'll turn to page 26, we've used five comparable rentals located in Pasco, Hernando, and Hillsborough counties that range in leasable area from 2,950 square feet to 4,051 square feet. These are all actual leases with expense structures of triple net and absolute net. We have made adjustments to the absolute net and conditions of lease adjustments for the amount of the time when the lease was signed. We've made secondary adjustments for location, age and condition, quality and design, size and land to building ratios. And we ended up with a range between $38.41 per leasable square foot and $52.56 per leasable square foot, and we settled on $45 per leasable square foot. If you turn to page 34, you'll see our our direct cap chart. Using that $45 per square foot, the subject having 2,630 square feet gave us $118,350 annual rent. We added in our reimbursement income to give us $118,518. We allowed for a 3% vacancy, giving us an effective gross income of $114,962. We allowed 5.83% in expenses, giving us a net operating income of $108,257. We used a 6.25% cap rate. We loaded that with last year's millage, giving us a 7.87% loaded cap rate for a final value of $1,375,963. The eight criteria were considered in the analysis of the subject. The value of the subject from the cost approach was $924,809, from the sales comparison approach of $1,841,000, and from the income approach, $1,375,963. Primary weight was placed on the sales comparison and income approaches, with secondary weight placed on the cost approach. Therefore, the as-is fee simple market value of the subject is $1,540,114. The rest of the packet is basically property record cards, deeds, and leases for all of the comps that were used, and legal information. And that's it.
The evidence provided by the property appraiser is identified as Exhibit 1 and is admissible. The petitioner presented evidence here that he wants me to consider. I will synopsize it. Can I ask a question, property appraiser? You have a copy of this information, correct?
I do.
And is it, it indicates here it's for petition 203. Is this for both petitions, though?
There was a packet for 203 and for 204. They may have mixed them together.
Okay, I'm sorry, it's attached. Okay, very good. Okay, let me go through this now.
Would it be possible for me to verify that that's what I received? Thank you. You get
property appraiser is looking through the evidence submitted by the petitioner to confirm that they have received a copy of that. And it's the same.
We're good.
Thank you. The petitioner submitted a cost approach. Let me review here. That indicates a value of $400,200. And he has a breakdown of the cost estimates. He has a presented Marshall Valuation Service cost calculation method. He also included a net income approach, which indicates a value of $241,044 per square foot, and the indicated value is $635,000. He provided photographs. A retail submarket report. He has CoStar information in regard to absorption study and vacancy rate of 4.1% and a 12-month rent growth of 5.7%. By the vacancy survey that indicates properties that have are 100% occupied up to, 100% vacant all the way down to approximately 0.3% vacancy. He provided a list of comparable sales, 41 sales, with an average cap rate of 6.6%, an average price per square foot of $149, and an average vacancy at sale of 6.2%. The evidence will be reviewed prior to making a determination. All right. The evidence provided by the petitioner is Exhibit 2, and it's admissible. Is there any rebuttals to the evidence, please?
Yes, sir. I'd like to bring up some comments about that. Going through their information, I'd like to start with the cost approach.
Take a little louder, please.
Yes, sir. Going through their information, I'd like to talk about their cost approach. To start with, they used a wrong effective age. It should be 26 years. Their land size is incorrect. It should be 38,180 square feet. They indicated an improvement value for years 2019 and 2020, and those are both incorrect. The story height multiplier they used is incorrect. It should be 0.957. The floor area perimeter multiplier they used is incorrect. It should be 1.136. I took those numbers from Marshall Swift. They have no indicated value for the fencing that they have on the property. They have no indicated value for the canopies they have on the property. And they've added no indicated value for the soft or indirect costs or the entrepreneurial incentive.
Can I have a copy of your...
Absolutely.
Rebuttal of evidence? Okay.
On their, if I may. On their income approach, 4261... that's new construction. It's not on the 2020 tax roll. 837 Broad is a brand new Zaxby's, and we feel that is comparable to the subject. The property at 4500 Commercial Way is a strip center. We don't feel that's comparable. The property at 3509 Commercial Way is a neighborhood shopping center, and we do not feel that's comparable. 13151 Cortez is a community shopping center. 13214 Spring Hill Drive is a multi-tenant professional building. And 3280 Commercial Way is a multi-tenant, multi-story retail building. None of these, except for the Zaxby's, are quick-serve restaurants, and we don't feel they're comparable. I also feel that a 6% vacancy is high. And I also feel that their 10% in expenses is also high. As far as their comparable sales, the first one, 940 South Broad, is a 7-Eleven, and it's a qualified sale, but it is a convenience store. The second one, 13495 County Line Road, is also a 7-Eleven. It's also a qualified sale, but again, a convenience store. South Square Plaza is a community shopping center. The sale that they have indicated hasn't even been recorded yet in our system, so I can't confirm that sale. Silverthorne Square is a multi-structure strip center. Firestone is an automotive repair center and a 2020 sale that's not been verified. 4261 Mariner is new construction and not on for the 2020 tax roll. 837 Broad Street is the Zaxby's we mentioned before, but the sale has not been verified because it's 2020. 1371 Commercial Way is a Cracker Barrel restaurant and a 2020 sale that's not been verified. 2239 Cortez is Hidden Valley Campground. We don't feel that's comparable, and it's also a 2020 sale. 3021 Commercial Way is a former Walmart and is disqualified sale due to not being exposed on the open market. Per CoStar, the buyer had previously bought other properties from the seller and is a disqualified sale. 8156 Spring Hill Drive. This one's listed twice as it has two actual separate sales, but it's a Dollar General, and both sales are from 2020 and they're not yet reviewed. 2901 Forest is a Dollar General, also a 2020 sale, not yet reviewed. 10620 North Cliff is a Family Dollar and is a disqualified sale as it sold as part of a large portfolio and the mortgages were assumed by the buyer. 15265 Cortez is a travel camp, and it's also a 2020 sale that's not been verified. 1135 Cortez, Commercial Way is an Arby's, and it's a qualified sale. 12109 Cortez is a strip center, and a 2020 sale that's not been verified. 1950 Jefferson is a Marathon gas station, and it shows an incorrect sale price. It actually sold for $1,500,000. And sold as part of a portfolio. It's a disqualified sale. And the last one there, 2260 to 2292 Commercial Way, is Timber Hills Plaza, and it's a 2020 sale that's not been reviewed.
2020 sale?
Yes, sir. Of all these sales, there's only four qualified sales, and only two of those are quick service restaurants that are actually comparable to this, the subject. Yes. And that's it.
Okay. The evidence, or rebuttal evidence, is Exhibit 3 and is admissible. Question I have is, the evidential package other than the values indicated for this petition is the same as for Petition 204?
Yes, sir, other than the subject matters.
End of this petition.